This is the KVNF local news for Thursday, July 25th, 2013. I'm Marty Derlin. Colorado's state capitol is now the first capitol building in the country to use a geothermal system to cool the building. Crews tapped into an underground aquifer to regulate the temperature. As Benta Berkland reports, the system is now online, but state officials are working out some final bugs.
The new geothermal system will air condition the Senate and House chambers in the summer and help heat the building in the winter. Lance Shepard works for the Department of Personnel and Administration and is the project manager. He says geothermal has a lot of benefits.
It's an energy source that will last for generations. It's a constant source from the water, the 65-degree water, whether the wintertime or the summertime, and it doesn't provide all of our heating and cooling, but it reduces our base load.
Shepard says the system will save the state about $100,000 each year on utility bills. Still, he says most of the building's public spaces won't be air-conditioned.
And that's due to the historic nature. Getting ductwork into those areas would destroy the historic fabric of the building. So in the long term, we may be able to get there, but it's going to be very difficult and very expensive.
A federal grant paid for the majority of the $6.5 million project. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Denver Post reports that Senate President John Morse, now faced with a recall election, says he's prepared for the battle to retain his position. In his first public comment since the recall efforts against him began, Morse said that although he sees the efforts as, quote, politicking, he's prepared to begin campaigning. According to the Post, Morse said his campaign efforts won't focus on his defense of gun regulations alone, although he did reassert his support for both the Second Amendment rights and his view that background checks keep guns out of the hands of criminals. El Paso County Republicans have selected former City Councilman Bernie Herpin as Morse's challenger in the recall election. Morse criticized his challenger, saying Herpin is, quote, not for allowing women to make their own reproductive health decisions. Morse expressed confidence that both he and Senator Angela Giron, also faced with a recall, will win the election, saying he believes recalls are, quote, not worth it and not a good strategy. The Post also reports that Colorado's U.S. Senators Michael Bennett and Mark Udall on Wednesday proposed measures that would make it easier to create railroad quiet zones across the country. The two proposed amendments to the Federal Railroad Administration rules that would make millions of dollars in unused money available for competitive grants. The grants would be designed to help cities make the often expensive changes to proposed quiet zones required under federal law. The senators claimed in a news release that cities and towns across the state have struggled with these requirements and their price tags. According to the Post, mayors and county commissioners have claimed train noise hurts economic development in commercial and residential areas, as well as the overall quality of life. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the body of a 17-year-old Montrose boy was recovered from a pond about a half mile west of the Montrose Airport on Tuesday. The boy, Luis Eduardo Estrada Juarez, apparently drowned after swimming with friends in the pond late Monday night. Montrose Police Commander Keith Caddy said Estrada Juarez had apparently been holding on to a log in the pond before becoming separated from his friends and wasn't able to swim back to shore. He said foul play is not suspected. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that the Tri-County Health Network has received a $250,000 award to help residents in Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties sign up for health plans. The grant, awarded by Connect for Health Colorado, will help residents select and choose a health plan, which under the Affordable Care Act will be required for all Americans by the end of January 2014. Lynn Borup, executive director for the Tri-County Network, said the money would mainly go toward educating residents about Colorado's new healthcare market. The money would especially help those who can't afford private insurance and aren't covered by their employer, but still aren't eligible for Medicare. The Tri-County Network will hire 3 people for outreach and education. We'll also offer health care guides that explain copays, out-of-pocket expenses, and the Affordable Care Act's impacts in general. According to the Daily Planet, the network also plans to organize educational booths at community events such as farmers markets and local health fairs. They also plan to offer lunch and learn educational sessions and enrollment fairs to help residents create accounts for the new healthcare market. The Daily Planet reports those efforts are aimed at the roughly 12,000 people actively seeking healthcare in the 3 counties. More than 19% of the population in Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties are currently uninsured. Dan Fensler of the Telluride Health and Wellness Community Council said the group is, quote, excited about the opportunities for previously uninsured individuals. Peonia Mayor Pro Tem Corinne Ferguson has resigned from the town council. The North Fork Merchant Herald reports Ferguson decided to resign due to a planned move outside of town limits. Ferguson will step down at the end of July. According to the Merchant Herald, the town will likely move forward with advertisements for a replacement at its August 13th meeting. Ferguson's successor will serve until April of next year, when a municipal election will take place. The Merchant Herald also reports that at the meeting on Tuesday, some council members suggested moving forward with a civil lawsuit against Kristen Chesnick, the former town bookkeeper convicted of embezzlement in the amount of around $390,000. Trustees Ross King and Brian Ayers reportedly stated the town should proceed with such a suit, while Larry Wisbach and Mayor Neil Schwederman wondered whether the costs of a lawsuit would just add to the town's losses. King and Ayers claimed the suit would help determine the actual amount that was stolen from the town, a sum that, although unknown, has been estimated to be much higher than the $390,000 that could be accounted for. Ayers furthermore claimed the town's claim to the recovered funds could nearly double that amount. King insinuated that it was the town's ethical duty to pursue the lawsuit, saying it would fulfill promises of a transparent town government. The town of Peonia's insurance carrier covered only $150,000 of the stolen amount, and as Mayor Schwederman pointed out, would be first in line to receive any newly recovered funds. He noted the IRS also might have first access to those funds. The council agreed to not decide the matter until town attorney Jim Briscoe could put together figures and further suggestions. And finally, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that about 2,100 gallons of produced water from oil and gas development sprayed into a field south of Newcastle, and a small amount reached a stock pond after a WPX Energy waterline valve leaked on July 2nd. The incident has prompted WPX to make an infrastructure adjustment in what it calls its Cocopelli field operations in that area. WPX reported to the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission that the incident happened when water was being transferred between 2 storage pits. A valve intended to isolate a lower waterline section failed, allowing pressure to build up in that section until an above-ground riser ruptured. WPX said all but about a barrel of the water could not be recovered because it had soaked into the dry soil. Produced water contains a mix of hydraulic fracturing fluid and water that comes from the geological formation where the oil and gas is being recovered. In an email action alert on Wednesday, the Peonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community cited the WPX spill and others, such as this year's leak from a Williams natural gas liquids line near Parachute Creek. Equipment failure and accidents happen all of the time, said Citizens for a Healthy Community, and that's why we need to keep drilling rigs away from sensitive areas, like riparian zones, water bodies, irrigation systems, cropland and ranches, and homes and schools. And that concludes the KVNF local news for today. I'm Marty Derlin. Thanks for listening.